Oh, there's our cue, ladies. The music has stopped. The lights have dimmed. Hey, how's it going? Okay, no one answered me. Hey, how's it going? Oh, there they are. Well, grab your coffee. Come on in. Grab a seat. Oh, well, the coffee's not ready yet? Wow. Well, you know what? Then why don't you all stand up for this first song, and it might wake you up a little bit. Yeah, that was kind of intense. You should have heard that.
That's really funny.
Do I have to push this? No. Oh, there I am. Hey, let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight with hearts rejoicing that we are your daughters, Lord, that we have this opportunity to come and gather together in your house just to be with the sisters, Lord, to worship you, to praise you, to worship you with our minds as we're taught from your word. And God, we just commit our evening to you and ask that you would bless it. Just grace us more and more with your presence. Fill us with your spirit and be glorified, Lord, in all that's done in this place tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
A long knee squat. Good job. Working on those hips. Thank you so, so much for all of you guys who helped me the harvest night so special. My kids had so much fun, and every person there had so much fun. So thank you guys for those of you who helped out with booths and the bean bag makers and the candy donators and the adorable people with smiles and costumes and working stands, which I just realized I owe choir like $6 for nachos. Shh, don't tell Kathy for Z. I'm sure Jason paid. And also thank you for those of you guys who donated for the pastor's wives for El Salvador. I know that they were so blessed and praying for the Salvados. Are they still down there? Or on their way back? I'm sure they had a great time. I'm sure it was good. Christmas tickets are on sale tonight. I think Christine is going to be selling them, right? That Christine is going to be selling the Christmas night tickets, and it's going to be such an exciting, adorable night, and it's called Good Things Come in Small Packages, and I don't know if that's because Debbie Bryson is teaching or what that was. Okay, I stole that one from Jason, sorry. But come out that night and be pampered. It's going to be a blessing. The tables will be beautiful. The food will be amazing. And I heard a rumor that the guys are going to be serving us. So that's kind of awesome. Yay! Yay for guys serving us. And also, if you know somebody who doesn't know Jesus, or somebody that used to know Jesus and has kind of walked their own way, or somebody who loves Jesus and you think would be fun just to bring, I encourage you guys to pray about someone to invite that night. And it's also not too late to sign up for the call. The call is this coming Saturday at Calvary Oceanside, and the website is floating around somewhere on a flyer that is also somewhere, I'm assuming, in the front on some table, and I'm seeing nods. So yes, it's not too late to sign up for the call, so I encourage you guys to come. It's going to be an awesome, awesome day. Rosalind Posey has done so much for all of these Monday nights, and she's made them beautiful, and she's made them amazing, and tonight is actually going to be her last one because Rebecca had her baby today. Woo! A little boy, well, maybe big, knowing them, it's probably a big baby, but little baby boy named Cyrus Ezra, I think is his name, and I'm so excited. Isn't that so sweet? So Rosalind is heading out to Costa Rica tonight after study is over, so make sure you tell her thank you and that she did a wonderful, wonderful job. And we need to pray for Jackie Fierro, for those of you guys who know her. She has inflammation on the brain, and she's been having seizures, and her motor skills prognosis is not very good. So let's go ahead and pray for her and pray for the night. Lord, we lift up Jackie to you, and God, we just ask that you would be with her, God, that you would fill her with comfort right now. Lord, we just pray that you would have your hand upon her. Lord, that she would just rest under the shadow of your wings right now. God, that she would sense your presence and feel your closeness. Lord, I pray for us as her church body that you would show us what we could do, Lord, to be a blessing to her, to minister to her, to bless her. God, I just pray you'd have your hand upon her. And Lord, we pray for this night. We thank you. Lord, we thank you that you equip us and that you call us. And even as we read today in Psalm 106 about Phinehas stopping the plague, Lord, and being known as righteous from that moment on, God, we thank you that you equip us, Lord, to be righteous. We thank you that through Titus you are equipping us to stop the plagues of this world, to stop the plagues of Christianity. God, may you raise up each woman in this room to radically affect this world. We just love you, Lord, and we praise you. Amen.
Sweet name. soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and the way. You are the life to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless.
We love you, Lord, and we just commit the rest of this evening to you now. God, we open our hearts and our minds and ask that you would speak to us through your word. Anoint Christy for the teaching time, God. Give us supernatural, divine focus to hear what you would speak to each one of us tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good job, girls. Okay, we'll open up to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And I have to tell you that I'm just a little bit worried about this study. Not for the normal reasons that I'm nervous anyway. But I got here at 5:30 and I went into the little room to pray with everybody and nobody was there. And so I just kind of sat by myself for a few minutes and prayed. And all of a sudden I heard somebody laugh in the hallway and I put my head up and 25 minutes had gone by and I was out. Nobody ever came to pray. I fell asleep. I had like a ring imprint and a fingernail imprint like in my face. I was drooling all over some poor kid's desk. I'm sorry, number 3 in third grade, whoever you may be. Sorry if that's your child. I tried to wash it off with sanitizer, but the classroom was out of sanitizer. So anyway, I slept instead of prayed for the study, and I think my heart was praying. That and having dreams about walking chickens on leashes. Like, I was dreaming on this child's desk. So, yeah, that's what happens when you go to bed at 12 and wake up for at 4:45 for, like, 6 years, and then you turn 34 and it all catches up with you. So, Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Lord, we just come before you now. God, we come to you. And we're in awe of who you are. Lord, we say with David, what are we that you would choose to look upon us? What are we that you would choose to let your grace appear to us, that you would choose to bring your salvation to us? Lord, we thank you for who you are. God, may we be your vessels. May we bear your light. Lord, may you use us to reach this dark generation. God, we love you. Let our hearts rest before you. Free us of any distractions. God, may you just go before us in this night, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. I have been captured by a thought for the last few days. I don't know if you girls do that. I kind of get like a thought or a verse or a concept or an idea just stuck in my head, and it just kind of rumbles around in there in all the emptiness for a few days, and I get captured. I get captured by ideas. I get captured by thoughts. And the other day, right now we're in Ezekiel in the one-year Bible in the Old Testament, and plug in, girls, you can do it. Charge through it. There are so many good verses in Ezekiel. And I was talking to somebody who was just talking about how they're already having such a hard time and we still have 2.5 weeks left. And I encouraged her to go on an Ezekiel treasure hunt. There are many, many treasures of verses in the book of Ezekiel. And the one that captured me a couple days ago was when Ezekiel went to the New Jerusalem. Do you guys remember that a few days ago? And he's describing what he saw, and he's describing what he was seeing. And many scholars think that that's the millennium period, and my husband is one of those scholars who believes that that's the millennium period, so I'm going to go with him on that one. Okay, come on, girls, really wake up. Laugh, yay! No, that's clap, it's okay. But when he went there, what he saw, what amazed me, was the fact that he saw it completed. And the same thing with John in the book of Revelation, where he goes to heaven and he says, I saw the new heaven, and I saw the new earth, and the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. And what amazes me the most about that is that they see these cities completed. But we know that our God that Jesus, in the book of John, he says that he goes to prepare a place for us. And right now he's working on it, and right now he's preparing it. And when it's done, when it's completed, he'll come and he'll take us home, his bride. But John and Ezekiel saw them done. They saw them done. And that amazes me, and it blesses my heart, because they're not finished yet. Heaven is not finished right now. The New Jerusalem is not finished. It's not completed. And yet John and Ezekiel saw it completed because God has made the promise that he will complete it. God has the blueprint. And the fact that God is still working on it, and the fact that John and Ezekiel saw them completed, excites my heart. Because I remember in Philippians 1:6 that it says that he who has begun a good work in me will be faithful to complete it. He who has done a good work in you, begun a good work in you, will be faithful to complete it. See, our God is a finishing God. Our God is a completing God. He has the blueprints. He has the plan, and he is not a quitter. He's got the blueprints of who you're going to be. He's got the blueprints of who I'm going to be. Because if you're like me, I just kind of go to bed at the end of the day saying, Lord, are you sure you meant to pick me? Are you sure you meant to love me? Are you sure that you meant to bestow your grace upon me? Because I know me, and I know that you know you. But that is what our God does. That is who our God is. I'm amazed at some of those makeover shows, you know, that they have, and to watch those. And the people that they pick are never ugly people that they leave ugly. Look at what we did. And they're never beautiful people to start off with. And they say, we made them more beautiful by slightly changing the color of their lip gloss just a little bit. The people that they pick are the dowdy people that have a beautiful characteristic about them. Their eyebrows or their cheekbones or their smile. They pick somebody with a quality in them that they want to exemplify. And that is how our God sees us. He doesn't see us as ugly to leave us ugly. He doesn't see us as beautiful to make us more beautiful. He sees each one of us as a special treasure. He looks at you and he says, I see your kind heart. I'm going to make that what shows off on you. I see your sweet smile. I see your praying spirit. I see that you love my word. I'm going to take that and show it off in you, because our God is a transforming God. I was reading the book, All of Grace. If you guys have heard of that book by Spurgeon, I just absolutely love it. I got it at the Pastor's Wives Conference, and it's an amazing, amazing book. If you ever have the chance to read it, read it. And he tells a story in there of a painter in old time England, which just sounds exciting anyway. I wanted to go and experience the rain and eat a scone when I read the story. And he has a story in there of a painting that was almost completed. All the painter needed was a street sweeper to paint. And he's walking through the city and he sees the street sweeper, and he sees him and he says, you're the one. Can you come to my studio and can I paint you for a picture that I'm doing? So the street sweeper, of course, says, sure, I would love that. So the street sweeper goes home and he takes a shower and he gets cleaned up and he changes his clothes and he shows up at this painter's house. And the painter says, I'm so sorry, but I don't need you like that. I needed you like the street sweeper. I needed you how you were. And that is how our God is. See, so often we have the tendency to want to clean ourselves up before we come to him. We have the tendency to want to clean ourselves up before we come to women's ministry. We put on our, I just wasn't yelling at my kids' face, you know, that face. Or when we get to church, I was not just unsubmitting to my husband, I promise. And I think unsubmitting is a word, I'm sure it is. And we put on these faces, we put on these appearances, we change our clothes, we wash ourselves, and we say, I'm here, I'm clean, I'm the one you needed. And God says, no, The one that I needed was the messed up woman. The one that I needed was the one who has no idea why God chose her, why God loves her. The one that I needed was the one who thinks she's beyond the using of God, because our God is a transforming God. God chooses us while we're hungry. God chooses us while we're thirsty. God chooses us in our ungodliness. He chooses the lustful, the unsober, the unrighteous. Romans tells us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. But he didn't pick us that way to leave us that way. He didn't pick us ungodly to leave us ungodly. He didn't pick us lustful to leave us lustful. He didn't pick us unsober to leave us unsober. He did not pick us unrighteous to leave us unrighteous. You know, sometimes we can read verses like in Corinthians chapter 1, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." Because sometimes we can have the tendency, oh, you picked me because I'm weak? You picked me because I'm foolish? All right, well, bring on the weakness. Bring on the foolishness. Yes, that's who I am. I'm weak. I'm foolish. But it's not the stain in the weakness. It's not the stain in the foolishness. It's my weakness compared with God's grace and paired with his strength. It's our sin paired with his cleansing blood. It's our attitude changed by his grace. How did you get like that? I knew who you used to be. How are you like that now? I used to watch you with your husband. How are you sweet now? I used to watch you with your kids now. How are you okay now? I used to watch you gossiping with your friends. How is it that you have a controlled tongue now? And it's only by the grace of God. The transforming grace of God calls our weakness to the table. The transforming grace of God calls our foolishness, calls our unrighteousness, calls our lustfulness, calls our unsoberness to the table, and he says, "You have no idea what I'm going to do with your life. You have no idea where I can take you. You have no idea what I can do with you." Verse 14 again, read it with me. "He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." He takes ungodly people and he trains them to deny ungodliness. He takes the lustful and he teaches them to deny the worldly lust. He takes the self-focused and the careless and he teaches us to live soberly and righteous and godly in this present age, which is not something that comes easy to us. It is not easy to live godly in this present age. It is not easy to guard yourself against becoming lustful in this present age. And to see a life that does that, that brings God's glory, because it's only by his grace. No wonder he says in verse 15, "Speak these things, exhort, rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." To scream to the world, look what God did with my useless life. Look where he can take it. But we've got to let the world go. We've got to get ourselves off the throne. We've got to let Jesus reign. It's his grace. It's his mercy, it's his power alone that can transform us. A lot of people get stuck in this age of grace. Does it grieve your heart? The ones that cry grace, 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 and forget that they were created for good works which God has prepared beforehand. They walk according to their own ways. They walk according to their own God that they've created in their own mind. And my heart was broken a couple weeks ago. I have the sweetest little friend, and she's just kind of stuck right now. And she said, I know that God is righteous, but his righteousness is so down on the list, far below his mercy, that it doesn't even matter. And that just grieved my heart. And you look at them and you hear what God was saying when he looked at Paul and said, Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the goads. Have you ever watched somebody kick against the goads? Somebody that you know that God has the most amazing plan for their life if they would just surrender. Somebody that you see their qualities, you see their stubbornness in the world, and you see their passion for the world. And you just think, if that passion was for the lost of God, there would be nobody in your path that would not be saved. And you see these people and you look at them and you say, it's hard for you to kick against the goats. It's a painful thing to watch. In Jeremiah chapter 7, God says, this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice and I will be your God. You shall be my people and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts. They went backward and not forward. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like you're going backwards and not forwards? Or do you know anybody who's going backwards and not forwards? And you just kind of want to say, stop, whether it's to yourself or it's to somebody else. Don't go backwards. Follow God. We were delivered out of this world in order to have intimacy, because the purpose of grace is intimacy. We have been forgiven, pardoned, cleansed, loved, renewed, restored, redeemed, all because Jesus wants intimacy, all because he wants to know you more intimately than you know anybody else. 2 Thessalonians says, therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We have had grace showered upon our lives. We have had grace flooding into our sinful hearts, and it's for a purpose. It's for a purpose. You were saved for a purpose. God has a blueprint of your life. He has a plan for your words. He has a plan for your steps. He has ordained your life, and he has a finished picture of you. And even those who are stuck and caught in sin, like I was telling you about my sweet little friend, he is pursuing them, and they can feel the heat of his breath on the back of their necks as they run. And I was praying for my little friend the other day, and she's just made some wrong choices, you know, just those times that come, and she's just made wrong choices, and she'll be back, but she's just kind of stuck right now. And I was talking to her, and, well, first, I was in reading my Bible in the morning, and God gave me a verse, and he said, you need to call her, and you need to tell her that, and you need to also tell her this with it. And I just thought, oh, Lord, I can't say that because she'll be mad at me. Don't we always get like that? We're so worried that they're going to be mad at us. Let somebody else bring them out of their sin. God, I don't want to be responsible for that. I don't want her to be mad. And so I called her. And she didn't answer, and I thought, oh, praise God. Hey, this is me. Call me back. Bye. So she didn't call for a couple hours, and I was outside gardening with my kids, and my phone rang. All of a sudden, we were listening to a Bible study, and Bible study stopped, and my phone started ringing, and I just thought, oh, no, that's her. And I thought, Lord, my hands are muddy. See, I'm gardening. And you know one of those times where you're trying to make the excuses, and your heart's beating, and your face is sweating? I just looked at my kids, and I said, keep gardening, don't kill anything, and I'll be right back. And I sat at my table outside, and I was just trembling, and I read the verse to her, and God just gave me boldness, and I just proclaimed what he wanted me to say with boldness. And then you know how all of a sudden, like, the boldness for what you were supposed to say is gone and you're just left still on the phone? And you just say, I'm sorry I had to say that. Because you don't know what else to say. And she said, it's okay. I'm used to you always saying things like that. And I just thought, okay, well, I love you. Bye. I'm praying for you. And I hung up the phone. And I was praying and I was thinking about it. And I thought, wait a minute. She's used to me always saying things like that? Because this whole thing has been going on for 8 months and I have never said anything like that. What does she mean? She's used to me always saying things like that. And God spoke to me in that moment and he said, I've been whispering the same thing in her ear for 8 months. So for you to verbalize it to her, it sounds like you've been saying it that entire time. See, God is pursuing them and they know. They know that they know that they know. Because when you're created for something, and you've been there, and you've walked in it, you know. And you know you're miserable. But our gracious God, his grace that brings salvation, and he's appeared to all men, he doesn't just leave us in those places. He doesn't leave our family members in those spots. He doesn't leave our friends in those places. In Isaiah 65, he says, I've stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good according to their own thoughts. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart and wail for grief of spirit. And at first you read those verses and you're thinking, well, that's not very nice. It's not very nice to keep them hungry. It's not very nice to keep them thirsty. It's not very a fun picture to see them crying for sorrow of heart while we're rejoicing. But what God does, our redeeming, restoring, gracious God, he creates in us an unsatisfied hunger. He creates in us an unquenched thirst, that they might seek him and that they might be restored. He saved us from, he redeemed us from, not into. He saves us from. And you moms know, don't you do this to your kids? Please tell me I'm not the only one. See, the other day, it was actually a couple weeks ago at this point, one of my kids, who shall remain nameless because, well, they get picked on a lot. So one of my kids, they didn't clean their room when I asked them to clean their room. And me being the creative mom that I thought that I was, I don't know why I'm doing a workshop on being a mom on Saturday. Whole other story. But anyway, so I said to this particular child, however many toys that you have left in your room that are not put away, you will go to bed 5 minutes earlier than the other two kids. I thought that was pretty cool. I'm picturing, you know, them going to bed 15, 20 minutes earlier. Not a big deal. 72 toys left out in his room. Oh, I said his. In their room. 72 toys. Like, I don't even think that a child should own 72 toys, let alone one who has put a lot of them away. Really? Are you kidding me? 72 toys. It's because daddy takes them to McDonald's while mommy is doing things like this. So I had no idea that that many toys would be left out. He went to bed at 5:30. Like, I had to make dinner so early so that he could go to bed. And I wanted to make him as miserable as possible. So I took the other two downstairs, and you know what we did? We started watching TV really, really loud. And they never watch TV on a school night. But I'm like, oh, do you guys want to watch the Backyardigans? So that he could hear, so that he would be sad in his bed. And then I took them outside to play right underneath his window. Is that not like the meanest thing ever? And it sounds so mean and it sounds so harsh, but I wanted to create an environment for repentance. I did not ever want to be back at that place again where I was saying to that child, I already told you him, it could have been Jason, you don't know, where I was, he's kind of messy too. I didn't ever want to be back in that spot again. When I said to him, clean your room, I wanted him to clean his room because I wanted him to remember how unfun it was to listen to the girls watching TV and playing outside. Now the girls are like, can we watch TV? Can we play outside? No, your brother's room is clean. Sorry. But that's how God is. He does it in his anger and his cruelty and his meanness, create a hunger. He does it in his wrath, create a thirst. He creates a hunger and a thirst to bring us to repentance. He's the Redeemer. He came to redeem. He makes all things new. Have you ever let that verse capture you? Totally captured by that one a couple months ago. Everybody I saw, have you ever thought about the fact that God makes all things new? Like, how trippy is that? All things new. His mercies are new every morning. Does that happen at 12:01, 12:02, 5 a.m.? When does that happen? His mercies are new every morning. He makes all things new. What kind of an amazing God is this that we serve? Who would want to do that? Who would want to give me my 5 in 1 billionth chance that day? Who would want to do that? Who loves me that much? Who loves you that much? A God that takes us in our sin, a God that takes us in our misery, and he says to us, not only do you not have to change yourself, but you can't possibly ever change yourself. You're alone, destitute, dying in your sin with no alternative and no hope. And he chooses to set his affection on us. He chooses to lavish us with his love. He says to us, I don't have any reasoning that makes sense to any other onlooker, but I choose to give myself for you. I choose to redeem you from every lawless thing that you have ever done. I choose to purify you for me and to make you my own special people. Why would he want us for his own special people? That amazes me. I understand why he would want you, because you guys are adorable and super cute. But I don't understand. And if you're you, you know. You don't understand. Why would he want us as his own special people? He has such great things for us. He has such great things for us to walk in, such great things for us to do. And it doesn't make rational sense why he would choose to look upon us lovingly. Even the angels are baffled at salvation. You see her, right? You see the one I'm guarding? You see what she does all day long? You hear her? Really? You love her? It's amazing to me how much God loves us. There's this song. Have you guys heard of Addison Road at all? I love them. And can I just take a tiny little minute for a tiny little soapbox plug? I'm sorry. I don't mean to do this. Well, I kind of do because it's actually in my notes, pre-planned. But this is why I support Christian music so much. Because I am just carnal and just self-focused enough to get up from my time with Jesus in the morning and not give him a second thought. Oh, Lord, I want to think of you all day. I want to praise you all day. And now, unfortunately, the sun is rising. My kids are about to wake up. My husband's about to come here. And it's just all going to get chaotic. And I am just self-focused enough to not give him a second thought. And I love listening to Christian music because of that very reason. Right in the middle of the day, right in the middle of thinking about me and everything that I've got going on, and this person's been mean, and I'm worried about that, and my mom wants to have a Thanksgiving meal before she goes home to Israel, and I don't want them to go home to Israel next week, and oh, poor me, me, me. And right then, a song with a verse or a thought of God can just capture me and drop me to my knees right there in awe of him and who he is. Because I don't know about you guys, but I can hardly keep my eyes fixed on God without listening to non-Christian music. I can hardly keep my eyes fixed on the eternal and not on the things below without filling my mind with stuff. Our kids, they're going to be boy crazy and girl crazy enough without singing along with it and filling their mind with love songs. We struggle enough with sin, temptation, and lust. I can't afford to have my mind any more focused on me, any more focused on the world. But maybe that's just me, so I'm off my soapbox. Sorry, off my soapbox. But so that's what happened with this song. I told you guys that 2 weeks ago, I was just having such a hard week, and another one of my friends was just really going through a hard time, and she made some choices. And you know, it's interesting when your friends in ministry start to struggle, because it's heartbreaking and it's sorrowful and it's sad, but then it kind of makes you afraid for yourself too. You know, do you guys get like that? Like when you hear about husbands who cheated on their wives, or wives who cheated on their husbands, or moms who just bailed out on their kids, or women who fell into sexual immorality, whatever it might be, like you're grieved for that person, but you're also kind of scared for you. And so I had all of these, like, you know, just heart panicky situations, and I was having a hard time with my kids and totally discouraged at being a mom. And it was just one of those weeks. Like I told Jason, I just want to move to the middle of the Ozark somewhere, knock out all of our teeth, wear overalls, and just hide in the trees. Like, that sounded so fun to me. You know those old Christie books? And maybe that's my fault, because my mom was reading that book, Christie, when she was pregnant with me, and that's why I'm named Christie. So I think maybe I'm supposed to live in the middle of the Ozarks. Have you guys read that book? Catherine Marshall? Woo, it's such a good book. Okay, let's go read it. But you know, just one of those weeks where you just want to bolt out the door somewhere and you just want to hide. And it was just one of those times as a mom where I was having a hard time seeing the fruit of anything at that moment. And you know, just on Facebook, and Scott Cunningham's like, here's another song that Madison and Riley wrote, and woohoo. And I just told Jason, we just need to call Megan and drop our kids off at the Cunningham's house and pick them up when they're 20, because they're just not going to be okay with us. We're just not good parents. And Haley's just going to be a mediocre, apathetic Christian, and Jonathan's just going to embrace the world passionately. And I don't know what Aaliyah's going to do, but it's just not going to be good. Just one of those weeks, you know, slightly melodramatic. And you know, and in the middle of all of this, of course, I mean, my kids didn't hear me say that. That was very quietly yelled in my bedroom after hours. But in the middle of all of it, you know, one of the kids was in trouble, and they came to me and they said, I'm sorry, I'll try not to be bad anymore. And I just burst into tears. I've made my kids think that they're bad. And Jason's like, but they were bad. And I'm like, I know, but I let them know that they were bad. And oh my goodness, just hard week. So I dropped my kids off at school on Monday morning, and I miss homeschooling in those times so much, because we could just have a hot chocolate party, but now I've got to like drop them off, and because I'm sorry, I'm a bad mom, have a good day, don't worry, you're okay. So I came home and I was cleaning and just totally discouraged, and I turned on Addison Road, and I listened to it in my little cell phone in my back pocket, so someday I might get cancer, I don't know, but anyway, it's really good for right now. And so I listened to it, and so that way it can go with me wherever I am in the house. And I just want to read you one of the songs that just dropped me to my knees on my kitchen floor that I had just mopped, but I didn't care. But there's a better version of me that I can't quite see. Things are going to change. Right now I'm a total mess. Right now I'm completely incomplete. But things are going to change, because you're not through with me yet. This is redemption story. With every step that I'm taking, every day you're chipping away what I don't need. This is me under construction. This is my pride being broken. And every day I'm closer to who I'm meant to be. I'm a change in the making. Wish I could live more patiently. Wish I could give a little more of me without stopping to think twice. Wish I had faith like a little child. Wish I could walk a single mile without tripping on my own feet. But you're not through with me yet. From the dawn of history, you make new and you redeem. From a broken world to a broken heart, you finish what you start. Like a river rolls into the sea, we're not who we're going to be. Things are going to change. I'm living redemption story with every step that I'm taking, and every day you're chipping away what I don't need. And this is me under construction. This is my pride being broken. And every day I'm closer to who I'm meant to be. I'm a change in the making. And I was just brought to tears. Because so often, and you girls know, when you're generally godly, it shocks you when you have an ungodly moment. It shocks you when you see your sin that the Bible is always talking about you having. And you know that it's there. And you know that you've been saved. And you know that God flooded you with grace. And you know that there's not one good, no, not one, and that our righteousness is as filthy rags. And you tell that to everybody all day long. But when it comes down to us, aren't we just a little surprised and totally discouraged in ourselves? And I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago, and she called me up and she said, I can't be in ministry anymore. I'm going to have to step down. And I said, oh no, why? And she said, I've got pride sometimes. And I gossiped. And I'm just thinking, okay, but that's why God picked you. And we know that. And we know that we can tell people that God's not done with you, that you're under construction. But isn't it so great to be reminded that his grace is for us today, that we have not gone so far? And my little friend who's in the little mess right now, I texted her yesterday. She texted me something, and she won't talk to me yet, but she'll text, and so I'm just like a little texty mess. And she texted me, and I texted her back, God's arm is not so short that he cannot save. There is no situation that he cannot redeem. There's no situation that he cannot restore. We have never messed up so much that God says, you're done. I'm going to pick somebody else. And that's amazing. And we know that for the person sitting next to us. But to remember it for us, it's life-changing. To remember that he expects you not to be perfect. To remember that he poured his grace out on me, on you, because we're a sinner who could not do it ourselves. And every time I'm in a bad situation, or every time I'm in a hard time, like the one a couple weeks ago with my kids and my friend, I cry out to God, God, can you redeem this? Is this beyond you? Because I don't see how you can fix it. I don't see how your grace can flood even this. And his answer is always the same. He came to redeem. He came to restore. He came to make new. We just need to give it to him. Give that child to him. Give that husband to him. Give that situation to him. Give that house that you're losing to him. Give that job that you lost or need to him. Give that place that you want to go to him. Give that argument with a family member to him. He came to redeem. And one of my favorite verses right now is Jeremiah 50:34, and it says, their redeemer is strong. And I love that verse because I need a strong redeemer. Whatever you've done, whatever you've been doing, whatever you will do, his grace is stronger than that. I want to read those verses one more time. Why don't you guys read them out loud with me? Starting in verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Lord, you are our blessed hope, glorious appearing. God, we can't wait to see you. We can't even imagine the day where we will be known as we are fully known. God, we can't imagine the day where we'll see you face to face, where we'll be home, where there will be no more tears and no more pain, and you'll wipe away every tear. God, we can't wait for the day that we dwell in the city whose builder and maker is you. We can't wait for the day to dwell in a city that has no need of light, that has no need of the sun, because your glory shines it. God, we can't wait for that day where you complete us. We cannot wait for that day where we never again have to say, I'm so sorry, where we never again mess up, where we never again fail and fall short. God, we can't wait for that day where your grace will be completed in us. Lord, may we live for that day. May we be zealous for that day. Lord, would you wake us up if we're sleeping? Would you renew us if we're tired? Lord, would you walk before us in your paths, God? Lord, lead us on in your righteousness. God, may we live for the day where we see you face to face. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, tonight is probably Margie's last night. Here. Can you come up here? Sorry, I love you. Don't be mad at me. Grace, can't be mad at me. Can I have some of the other girls to come up and we'll lay hands on you and pray for you? And I know a lot of you will see Margie at the call, but I'm picturing kind of a snow flurry running back and forth that you'll be trying to hold still.
My friend.
I love you.
You'll have to listen to Jamie Grace.
Okay. Who's Jamie Grace?
Oh, you will love her worship music.
Yay.
You'll be dancing around the house.
Ooh, I don't know.
Loving your kids.
That'll be good.
Full of joy.
Crying time again. She's gonna leave us. Don't do that to me. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that all I can say is that you loaned us Margie, Lord, for the season of our lives, Lord, and how rich we are that we had her in our midst, God. And we thank you, Lord, that you are so good to us and blessed us so much with her wisdom, her love for women, Lord, her diligence to just pour her heart into these Bible studies, God. And Lord, we thank you too, Lord, that you're launching her, that now you're going to share her with somebody else and other women. And God, we just pray, Lord, we want to pray for those women that she will be with this time next week. And Lord, that new church family, Lord, we pray that you would just open doors and open hearts there to receive her. And now we just pray, God, we lay hands on her. Mm-hmm. Everyone, would you just put your hand out here toward Margie? And Lord, we pray toward Margie and that you would just give her a double portion of your spirit as you send her. Lord, that you would fill her up, God, that you would pour her out and fill her up again, Lord. And God, we know that you've already given her so many great, amazing gifts, that, Lord, that you would fan those even more into flame.
Thank you.
And God, that you would use her in a great and mighty way.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, you can give a group hug to Margie here.
Oh, the paper. I really called everybody up on stage because I thought I forgot an announcement. Just kidding. Okay, in the middle of your tables are, I think, right? Yes, is a paper sticking up. And next week we're going to have food. It's our last Monday night next week. And so you can sign up to bring something and then give the paper to your table leader. And I just want to say I love you girls, and you did a great job switching tables all fall Bible study, and I'm super proud of you. How many sat at every single table? Wow, you get a prize because I promised you a prize. So you get the highlighter and you get the lid. Woo! That's all I have for you.